Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, it is the Wendy's Big Show on a Major League Monday. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, little baby Tosh Schmidt on the other side of the glass, along with intern Mother Plucker. We got a lot to get to with you between now and 5 o'clock. That's when the On Deck Show gets you ready for Game 3 of the NLCS. And between now and then, Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, he'll talk some Brewers with us at 3:35. Ryan Wood, our Green Bay Football Insider, he makes his weekly Monday visit coming up at 4:48. We'll talk some Packers and Niners with him. We'll talk Packers and Niners with you at 3. But out of the gate, it's going to talk some Brewers on a Major League Monday and ask you, do you think the bullpen can survive 7 games like this? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. And when we say like this, Sparky, so far 10 and a third innings worked by the bullpen through the first two games of the series. Game one worked out just fine, although they did get to that bullpen a little bit, to the tune of, let's see here, four runs in that game one. And then in game two, we all know what happened with Jeremy Jeffress inheriting a couple of runners from Corbin Burnes, and then the home run by Justin Turner putting the Dodgers up, and they would stay up to even the series at one apiece. And we want to know, do you think the bullpen can survive 7 games like this? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
Well, I think right now it's more about Jeremy Jeffress than it is really the rest of the bullpen at this point. And maybe after a couple of games here in L.A., maybe I'll get more concerned about Soria and Corey Knable and those guys. But for right now, my main concern is Jeremy Jeffress. And it seems like they just got a beat on him, on Jeremy's pitching. I don't think any of his stuff is any different than it has been. I haven't noticed his fastball being any slower, his command being any more off or anything like that. It just feels like they're seeing Jeremy Jeffress really good.
The Turner home run, they're not hitting him that hard. I mean, and people misinterpreted what he said when he said lucky hit. They thought he was talking about the Justin Turner home run. He was talking about the hit before that, the bloop
right,
that landed in front of the left fielder. And I mean,
if you go back to the Rocky series too, though, I mean, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do here with Jeremy Jeffress. If I'm Craig Counsell, this is what I think. I don't think I pitch him today. I think I sit him. And I'm going to hope that Chacin can get me through 5. And then I'm going to go Hader, and then either Soria or Knable in the 8th and the 9th to finish. And I'm going to hold Jeffress to Tuesday when I can't pitch Hader anyhow. So if Hader pitches 3 today and has to have off tomorrow, then I'll pitch Jeffress tomorrow. Because what I'm doing is I'm going to try and win this game like I try to win game 1. I'm going for broke today. And if that means I sacrifice tomorrow, fine. But that guarantees me, if I win today, I guarantee me a game in Milwaukee no matter what happens in the next 2. I guarantee a chance to go to the World Series going back to Milwaukee no matter what happens on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I think if I'm Counsell, that's what my plan. My plan is get Chacin through 5, hopefully have the lead or be close, then go to Hader in the 6th and the 7th, maybe the 8th, and then Corey Knable to try and close it out if you have the lead, or Soria. But I think I'm going to hold Jeffers till tomorrow. If I can. That's my goal. Play to win today, and then if I lose tomorrow, fine, because you're not going to have to be dealing. It's in Rich Hill tomorrow?
Yes.
Right. So hopefully things will be a little bit easier tomorrow than it is today as far as scoring runs off the starting pitcher.
I really think, though, that if the Brewers do win tonight, it very well could be Clayton Kershaw tomorrow, because the Dodgers are going to be looking, they're going to be staring down the barrel at 3-1, and you don't, I mean, down 3-1, it's not over, but it's pretty damn close to over, and they don't want to allow that to happen.
And maybe they will change
right
that. But my point is, I need to win 1 in L.A. to get back to Milwaukee,
yes,
regardless.
Yes.
So I have to win 1. And if I have the lead or I'm close in the 5th or 6th inning, I'm going to Hader for 2 or 3. Then I'm going to go to Soria and Knable after that point, and I'm going to wait on Jeremy Jeffress till tomorrow. That's how I'm going to play it. He just makes me nervous right now. And I think he makes everybody nervous. And I don't think it has anything to do with him necessarily. I just think it has to do with them a little bit. So from my standpoint, that's how I'm going to approach it. I'm going to try and hold off Jeff Hurstill tomorrow.
So you would not change the way you use your relievers, but you would make a slight tweak in terms of who you're using.
If you go back to the previous game, Council didn't want to pitch Knable.
Right.
And he got forced to because of Jeffers.
Right.
This game, I don't want to pitch Jeffers. Nothing personal. I didn't want to pitch Knable that game, and I had to because you screwed up. Now I'm telling you, I don't want to pitch you this game. I want to have you close tomorrow and be that guy in the eighth and ninth and pitch two innings and close this game out if I can get the ball to you. But tonight, I'm going Hader, Soria, Knable. That's how I want to finish.
You wouldn't change the quick hook strategy, the initial out-getter strategy.
I want Chacin to get me through five. Now, I can't let him get me through five if he's given up three runs and we're in the second, obviously.
I mean, that's still a pretty quick hook. You're saying best-case scenario.
If I get through five and he's given up two or less, I'm happy. Then I'm going to get Hader. And Hader's going to go 6-7, 6-7-8 maybe, or just 6-7. Then Soria, then Knable, get the win. We're up 2-1 and feel a lot better no matter what happens now tomorrow. Worst case, you're 2-2, but then you get Hader back to pitch in that last game before a day off, which means you'll then have Hader back and ready to go game six at Miller Park. So I guess how I'm looking at it, Rami, is I'm playing to win today, I'm playing to win Wednesday, and I'm trying to finish them on Thursday. That's how I'm playing it. So I'm playing to win today with Hader, I'm coming back Wednesday with Hader, and I'm coming back Friday with Hader. I'm trying to end this thing in six. That's how I'm going to play it. And I'll sacrifice tomorrow if we end up losing without Hader. Fine.
Yeah, I really think that the deeper this series goes, unless Craig Counsell, and I don't think he should, unless Craig Counsell changes his strategy at this point in the season, the deeper this series goes and the more innings you're racking up on that bullpen, the more that the scales tip in the favor of the Dodgers. You want to end this thing as quickly as possible. Like I said, 10 and a third innings in the first two games of this series. And I'm not just concerned about the wear on the arms in a short period in a seven-game series. I'm worried about, and I think we've already sort of started to see this, Sparky, that's a very, very good Dodgers lineup and a very disciplined Dodgers lineup. They do rely on the long ball a lot. They strike out plenty, and that's just baseball in 2018. But one thing that they are very good at is making pitchers work.
This is what makes no sense to me.
What's that?
Why you throw that pitch against Turner. Turner has been horrible upstairs. Horrible. And you go inside and belt high or somewhere around
belt
high?
I don't think he meant it to be quite in that location.
You just can't throw that pitch.
Right.
I mean, everything. Pena and Crash should just stand up. I mean, get in the damn crowds. I'm just going to stand here. Guess what? Everything's going high. You want to swing at it? Swing at it. If not, whatever. We're going to deal with it. Everything's top of the strike zone or higher than the top of the strike zone. Never pitch down belt high to that dude, inside, outside, or whatever. Because if you go outside, he's very good at taking the ball the other way. So you're going to give up a hit there too. That to me, that pitch, if that pitch was thrown where it should have been thrown, he would have been fine.
Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic yesterday put out an article talking about how, and the same thing I was just talking about, quote, this relentlessly grinding Dodgers lineup got to the Brewers in game two. And Kyle from BrewCrewBall.com, he says, maybe I'm just not used to these postseason narratives. The Brewers bullpen has had a two bad game sample, loses one of those, and they're increasingly vulnerable. Not like they gave up two total runs in the NLDS or posted the NL's second best ERA across 163 regular season games. So Kyle is saying that, the larger sample size says that this Brewers bullpen is much better than what it's shown in the first two games of the NLCS. Ken Rosenthal responded with, fair question, the postseason is a small sample. Jeffress, for whatever reason, is not performing as well, and I'm not still sure the entire group will hold up playing five games in 6 days at this stage. Five games in the next 6 days, starting tonight. And you've already used your bullpen for 10 and a third innings in the first two games of this series. I'm not saying he should change the strategy because it's what got you here. That's your strength.
The strategy's not going to change.
No, it's not. And it would be, I mean, you don't change who you are once you've gotten to this point. You're the best team in the National League record-wise. You're in the NLCS. You just won 12 straight games to get to this point, to
you
have a 1-0 lead
eventually
in the NLCS. Right. Eventually you were going to lose, and with as many innings as you throw your bullpen out there, just by from probability's sake, chances are it was going to be your bullpen
right.
on that mound when you lost.
If you look at Burns, I don't worry about Burns either. I think Burns will be fine. I think it was just a blip. I think he'll be okay. Sorry, I worry about from the aspect of walking guys and losing control. He bothers me from that perspective. But when he's on, he's going to do his job and get his guys out. His biggest bugaboo is not being able to locate the ball. And you can tell that within the first batter or two whether or not he's on to be able to make a quick hook if that's what you need to do at the end of the day. And remember, you haven't thrown Peralta yet. You didn't throw him in the Rocky series. He's on your roster. You haven't thrown him in this series yet either. So if Chacin does get in trouble today, you can go get Peralta and let Peralta throw three or four innings to get you to Hader to stop the bleeding, if that's what you need to do.
Depending on who you have to use tonight and how much you have to use them, it sounds like a bullpen day. If you read between the lines of what Craig Counsell is saying, it sounds like the plan is ideally for tomorrow to be a bullpen day. But again,
correct.
That depends on how many arms you have to use tonight and for how long.
Because I think today's the game he wants.
Yes.
He wants this one. If he gets this one, he's not as worried about tomorrow. Because get today with Hader, come back with Hader Wednesday, come back with Hader Friday, and end that bad boy. That's what I think he wants to do at this point, and I'm all on board.
Couple numbers for you going into the break here. Jeffress hadn't allowed multiple runs in a single outing since June 23rd. 37 games since he had done that. Now he's done so twice in the postseason, though, a five-game span over which Milwaukee has allowed 11 runs. Jeffress, in four of his first five outings to this point, has been shaky. He enters Game 3 at Dodger Stadium on Monday, 0-1 with a 7.71 ERA and having allowed a team-high 11 hits. Eight of the 11 runs the Brewers have allowed, though, this postseason have come with Jeffress on the mound, including 6 of 9 the Brewers have allowed over the first two games of the NLCS. But it's not just Jeffress, because outside of Hader and Woodruff, Milwaukee's relievers have allowed 8 runs over 5 1/3 innings. They have a 13.5 ERA over the first two games of the NLCS, and the Dodgers have hit .464 from the seventh inning on, compared to .100 over the first six innings of the first two games. So it is mostly Jeremy Jeffress, but it's not just Jeremy Jeffress. And I think the longer that this series goes on, the more likely you are for guys in that bullpen to stumble. And I think the longer that this series goes on, the more the scales tip in favor of the Dodgers. So my answer to the question, can the Brewers bullpen survive doing it this way, like this, 414-799-1250? If it goes seven, Dodgers are going to win this series. I hate to say that, but if it goes seven, Dodgers are going to win this series. I think game six is the tipping point, and it will be because they got to your bullpen this thing goes seven.
I guess we'll see. Once the Dodgers starters start going deeper than the Brewers, then I'll care about it. But until then, their bullpen is pitching as much as the Brewers bullpen. Neither of those two pitchers that have pitched so far, they're, quote, great guys.
Right.
Haven't gone any farther than our great guys have at this point, other than the first game when we knew it was a bullpen day. But again, if their starter only goes five innings tonight and Chacin goes five innings, they're going in their bullpen just like we are. And their bullpen's going to pitch just as much as ours at this point, especially those guys in the back end. Baez has thrown both games so far.
Yes, he has.
So he's going to come right back out there tonight if it's close again. I mean, with all due respect, until their starters start going seven innings, I don't really care about this. Until that happens, if he goes seven innings tonight and Rich Hill goes seven and then Kershaw goes seven, okay, then I'll hear this argument. But until they start locking down the Brewers and they can actually get through more than five, it doesn't bother me.
Do you think the Brewers can survive seven games like this? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. It's the Wendy's Big Show. It's a Major League Monday, talking Packers with you at 3, talking Brewers and NLCS with you right now when we return.
Look, I think one of the things we've told you is that, you know, our guys are all important, and the way we're going to use our pitching is that we got to count on all these guys. You know, for me, JJ made one bad pitch today, and it cost him, and it was to a very good hitter. You know, I think a lot of the other stuff he did today, he made some really, really good pitches. But certainly, look, in a one-run game, you know, you make a mistake to that kind of hitter, and it's going to hurt you.
That was Craig Counsell when asked if he thought about not putting Jeremy Jeffress back out there for the eighth inning after he retired the side in the seventh. This is the Wendy's Big Show asking you, do you think the bullpen can survive seven games like this? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Sparky has faith. He wouldn't use Jeremy Jeffress again tonight, but has faith that the bullpen can survive. I think that if this thing goes seven, the deeper that it goes, the more it favors the Dodgers, because you're going to wear on that bullpen, and they're going to pick up. Even though those are very good pitchers down there,
can you explain
they're
to me
going
to
pick up what you're doing.
Can you explain to me the difference in the Brewers' bullpen and the Dodgers' bullpen neither starter is going any longer than
ours?
I was just
about to do that, actually.
Beautiful.
The Brewers' bullpen is supposed to be your strength, your backbone, your lifeblood.
Yep, and their starting staff is supposed to be their lifeblood, and they haven't been
right.
That great.
You're right.
So both lifebloods haven't lived up to it.
Both strengths have not lived up to their billing.
Correct.
No doubt. And if
so you're saying you trust the Dodgers starters more than you trust the Brewers bullpen.
The longer the series goes, yes.
That they'll get figured out, and the Brewers sticks eventually will lose sight of how to face these starters. But the Dodgers hitters won't lose sight of how to face the Brewers bullpen.
Because why? Because he's Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw, who has sucked in the postseason up until last year.
He's still Clayton Kershaw.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
Well, if we're going on a body of work, then go on the body of work of his postseason.
Right.
Okay. Then Clayton Kershaw in the postseason hasn't been that good until last year.
He's a bum.
No, I'm just telling you, if you're going on body of work of Clayton Kershaw.
And also, you're not going to see Clayton Kershaw 2-3 days in a row the way that you are Jeffers,
nope,
the way that you are
Hader.
Right.
Three times.
Right. So the more frequently you see a guy, the more you're going to pick up.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with that. But same with the Dodgers bullpen then.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So if Kershaw doesn't get it strained out and can't go more than 5 innings,
yeah.
Brewers win the series.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. Let's go to, I don't know why you're so mad by my analysis. It's just what I think. I'm not.
I'm just asking questions.
I hope the Brewers win. I want them to win this series. I want them to win the World Series. Let's go to KJ in West Dallas. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, KJ?
Hey, everything. What's going on, Big Show? Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Ronnie, I totally agree with you. I do not believe that they can withstand and survive 7 games the way that Council has implemented this formula. And I'll tell you why. What was supposed to be their strength, their bullpen, has become their weakness. And I think it started, went into motion from game one when he pulled Gio Gonzalez after 2.5 innings. And then he implemented his bullpen like he said he was going to do. And the more that they exposed the bullpen throughout these games, more times the Dodgers see them, the more vulnerable they're going to be in that bullpen. I didn't like the fact that he left Hader out there for 3 innings. Wouldn't it have been great for the second game to have Hader come in?
Guarantee he could have pitched.
Well,
because he pitched two innings.
If he pitched 3 innings in the first game, Sparky, you would argue that he could pitch 1 inning the next day.
Absolutely not. Not if you follow Josh Hader all year.
It's about recovery.
You haven't paid attention to Craig Counsell all year. His arm recovery is not the same as Jeremy Jeffers. His arm recovery is not the same as Corey Knebel. His arm recovery is not the same as Corbin Burns. His arm recovery is that of Josh Hader. He is not able to pitch in those back-to-back scenarios effectively when he's throwing 2 or 3 innings in a game.
Okay, so your argument, you just made your own argument. Very weak. If you're telling me that you're going to pitch Josh Hader tonight.
Correct. Wednesday.
The next day.
Tonight, Wednesday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Tonight, Wednesday, and Friday.
And Friday. Okay. So, in other words, you have to stay with the same thing that he's been doing all year.
Yes.
So, in other words, you can't deviate at all on Hader.
Correct.
At all.
Well, if you want to use him the best you can. Because if you do it your way, and then he gets blown up, then what are you going to say? Man, I don't know why he pitched him in back-to-back games. I hadn't done much all year. He should have known that.
Okay, so here's my thing. The more that the Dodgers see these guys, these relievers, throughout this series, the more trouble they're going to be in. Here's the deal. If Chacin does not pitch 6-plus tonight, they're in big trouble. I'm going to tell you that right now. Right now, the bullpen is 7-plus ERA. Their starters, Brewers starters, are under 2.
With a lot less innings pitched.
With a lot less innings pitched, and that's my argument.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not pitching a guy like Miley, who is not giving up any hard contact, you're pulling him out? Why are you pulling out Gio Gonzalez, the guy that has been in that situation, and you pull him out after 2.5 innings to put in guys that have not been in that situation.
Okay, I'll answer this. I'll answer it for you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, KJ.
I'll answer it. He doesn't trust his starters, guys. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say this. He does not trust Gio Gonzalez to go through a lineup 2 or 3 times against the Dodgers. He doesn't trust him. Plain and simple. End of story. Does not trust him. He trusts Chacín and he trusts Miley to a point. He trusts nobody else in his rotation. See Chase Anderson not on the roster. See Zach Davies not on the roster. He doesn't trust his starters. Plain and simple. He trusts his bullpen more. He trusts Burns more. He trusts Woodruff more. He trusts those guys. But he doesn't trust these other guys. So the Gio Gonzalez thing, I get down with why you were upset, right? Like, I totally get it. He was pitching fine. He gave up one long ball to Machado. And other than that, he was fine. I get the anger. But that was predetermined before that game even started, what they were going to do. Gio knew what the deal was. Everybody knew what the plan was going in, that was a legitimate bullpen day with a starter starting to mask it a little bit. But that's the only thing. With Chacín and Miley, they're both expected to go five. Now, once we get through five, we'll look at pitch counts. We'll look at see who's coming up. We'll look at matchups. You know, if it's the bottom of the order, maybe you let them pitch the sixth. If it's not, and we're in the meat of the order, maybe you go get Hader for the sixth. I think it's all determined on that. I get why everybody's upset because the bullpen hasn't been that great at this point. But Council's not going to change what he's done all year to get him to this point right now. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, and I don't think he should.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'm telling you, Sparky, that even though I'm saying what I'm saying, that if this goes seven, it tips the Dodgers' way. Even though I'm saying that, in my next breath, I'm going to say Craig Council shouldn't change a thing about the way that he handles his pitching staff, because it is what got you here. And like I said, despite what's happened in the first two games, that bullpen is the absolute strength of this team. When you look at all the different facets of a baseball team, the lineup, the starting pitching, the bullpen, the defense, there is no facet of the Brewers game that's stronger than their bullpen. So, I mean, at this point, you don't have any choice but to push all your chips into the middle with that bullpen.
The other thing is, like I said before this series started, this team is going to have to score four, five, six runs a night in order to win. And that's exactly what happened the first game. That homer that Aguilar hit, everybody thought, well, it was just a little add-on, didn't mean anything. It ended up being the winning run at the end of the day. And then you come back in game two and you can't get to five or six runs and you lose the baseball game. They're going to have to score runs. They just are. This Dodger lineup is too good for the Brewers lineup to score two or three runs and expect to win. You're asking way too much out of this pitching staff to shut down the Dodgers for four games to two or three runs or less. That's just insanity. It's not going to happen. You have to score more runs. Lorenzo Cain got going. Good.
Yep. That's huge.
Yelich has gone a little bit quiet through two games. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about him. But you need these other guys to get going. Braun and Aguilar both have had opportunities to get runners in and then haven't been able to do it consistently. Domingo Santana had a big hit again the other night. I mean, that's what you need. You have to be able to get more runs.
And while I wouldn't do anything about the overall strategy, there are, I don't know, it's easy to second guess, Sparky, but I was saying this as I was watching the game, so I don't know if you would necessarily consider that second guessing. There are some minor tweaks that I would make to the way that he's handled the first two games. I had no problem with him going and getting Gio Gonzalez after two innings in game one. I expected Gio Gonzalez to only go two or three innings. I was basically looking at that as a bullpen day. I had no problem with that. Where I did take issue in that game was I maybe leave Woodruff out there for another inning, so Hader only has to pitch two. And maybe, because it's the postseason and you're using him a little bit differently, we've seen him in back-to-back days already in the postseason.
I understand. I'm dying.
So maybe, and you're right.
Unless you get to game seven and it's a must win and it's for the World Series, maybe then you see Hader go out there after game six and pitch game seven
right
after a day off on Thursday. Maybe you get that.
I'm not saying he would have. These are all unknowns.
Right.
These are
we
all hypotheticals.
Right.
But maybe if Hader doesn't have to pitch three innings, and what did he throw, 74 pitches that night? It was a season high. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact number. Maybe he's available to you for game two. So I would have left Woodruff out there for another inning in game one if he was able to hold up through that second, through that extra inning that he would have pitched. I would have had somebody in the bullpen ready to go, and it probably would have been Hader, but I would have let Woodruff start a third inning of work that day. And in game two, Miley has a three-run lead, man. There's one guy on base, and I know the quick hook has been your MO all year long, and I'm not saying to change that, but you have a three-run lead. Miley is rolling. He gave up, what, one hit at that point? Mm-hmm. And you go and pull him and go to a bullpen that's, I mean, it's worked a lot this season. Why not see if give Miley one more hitter at least at least one more hitter, and I'm trying to get Miley through that inning if I'm Craig Counsell. So minor tweaks, minor things I would have done differently at a third of an inning here, an inning there, where I would have pulled a guy or kept a guy in. But overall, the strategy of the quick hook of bullpenning is what got you here. That's your strength, and I wouldn't change it. But having said that, the deeper this series goes, the more it tilts towards the Dodgers, in my opinion. And if it goes seven, I picked the Brewers in six. If this thing goes seven, I think the Dodgers are going to the World Series. I hate to say it.
We'll see.
But that's how I feel.
I still think the Brewers win the series.
Do
I'm
you
not
think
all that concerned
the
yet.
Brewers bullpen can survive seven games like this? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM. The Fan. We'll hear more from you when the Wendy's Big Show returns on a Major League Monday on The Fan.
Well, I feel good, man. It's just, you know, it's the nature of the game. I can't strike everybody out. I can't make everybody hit a ground ball. I mean, I am human. But right now I feel great. It's just, like I said, just you got to make pitches and big counts. And, you know, better results will happen.
That was Jeremy Jeffress after his rough outing in Game 2 of the NLCS. This is the Wendy's Big Show asking you, can the Brewers bullpen survive seven games like this? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. Going to get into some Packers on a Major League Monday here shortly, so let's get in as many of your calls as we can, including James on the south side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, James? James?
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not so much worried about the pitching staff. I'm more worried about the offense. 2-for-16 with runners in scoring position.
Right. They got to score more runs, 16, no doubt.
16 men left on base in two games. And, you know, you got to get those runs in. We had, you know, nobody out. Bases loaded. We get one run in. And you got to get those runs in. You know, the Dodgers are a potent offense that all they need to do is get one or two guys on, hit a home run, and the game's tied again. I just think that we just need to, considering that at the beginning of the year that the offense was supposed to be our strength, and then now all of a sudden it's our pitching and bullpen that's a strength, I think that's a liability. We got to score some runs. And that's it. So I'll let you guys talk about it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call.
You know, the other thing about this, too, is I don't know if it's necessarily been the offense. I think the bullpen has been the consistent part of this team for most of the year, right?
Yes.
And the offense has been the inconsistent part of this team for most of the year. It's been ups and downs. You get red hot, and then they can carry you. And then you go into this week or two-week stretch where there's nothing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, so now we're going to have to figure out how to win 3-2-2-1 games. And a credit to this Brewers team that won as many games as they did. What was their big thing? Winning close one-run games. They did it consistently all year long. They were able to figure out how to get a big hit late in the game or to get that big out to get out of a big situation if you're the bullpen. They figured it out. Well, now you're in the postseason, and that's all you're going to play, apparently, are close games. We've seen it the first two games,
yep.
And I got a feeling we're going to see it the rest of the way out.
In one of the two games, you got enough runs.
Right.
I mean, regardless of how you get them, I know that what their average is with runners in scoring position, and that goes back to the Rockies series. This didn't just start now with the NLCS, but in game one, you put up six runs, and that almost wasn't enough. You find yourself hanging on for dear life there in the ninth inning. In game two, yes, you would like to see more runs on the board, but Sparky, if I told you you're handing a three-run lead over to that vaunted Brewers bullpen in the sixth inning, you're feeling pretty damn good about yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's take it by game situation, not necessarily look at the big broad picture of what they're doing with runners in scoring position or how many runs they scored in a given game. Let's take a look at the game situation, and you were expecting, Sparky, I said during the NLDS that I feel like I can almost turn the game off with a one or a two-run lead when they hand it over to the bullpen,
right,
no matter how many innings they have left.
Yep.
And I felt the same way in game two of the NLCS. You got a three-run lead, and while I didn't want him to pull Miley, I wanted him to see if he could at least go one more batter or maybe even finish that inning. When he did it, I went, okay, I don't necessarily agree with that. I maybe let him go a little bit longer, but you're handing a three-run lead over to this bullpen. It's a wrap. For all intents and purposes,
should be.
It's a wrap.
Yep.
And they let you down.
Agreed.
The strongest aspect of your team lets you down in the most crucial situation of the season
and
yet.
I think part of that might be a team feeling a little bit comfortable about itself. of being able just to go out there, do our jobs, and we'll lock it down. We've done it all year. You loosen up a little bit because you got that big lead.
Right.
It's kind of like pitching a closer in a non-save situation, right? What, 8 out of 10 times? 9 out of 10 times? What happens, Rami?
Close it out.
Gives up a run, gives up a couple of runs because they're up 6-1 and they got to get their innings, got to get their pitches. They go out there, they relax a little bit. It's not the same high-intensity situation. They ease up a little bit and they give up some runs. I think something similar to that probably happened in game one.
Let's go to, let's see here, Todd in Menominee Falls. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Todd?
Yeah, the thing is it's not a wrap because he's exposing too many pitchers in that bullpen for somebody to blow it. All it takes is one pitcher to blow a lead. He expects every pitcher to pitch one inning, inning and a half, two innings, and not to mess up. There's always one pitcher out of all them that ain't going to be on. So I don't understand his frame of thinking. I have a question. If this doesn't work, what does David Stern sit him down and get? How does he get him to change his way of thinking? That's my question, and I'll hang up to hear my answer. Thank you, bye.
Okay, so this is the thing. When you talk about this Brewers baseball team right now and how they're going to go about their business going forward. If you're Craig Counsell, and by the way, just saw a note from Tom Hargercourt on Twitter, says, very strong Santa Ana winds blowing straight in at Dodger Stadium. Definitely pitcher-friendly, looking at a low score between Brewers and Dodgers tonight. Who does that favor?
Probably the Brewers.
With the wind blowing straight in.
Yeah, I would think so.
Against Chassin.
Then again, they can play a little bit more small ball than you can. They're also a team that relies heavily on the home run, but they can play a little bit more small ball and station to station baseball than you can.
Heard
but
all postseason is they can't manufacture runs, the Dodgers.
I said a little bit more. These are both two very home run reliant baseball teams, but they're a little bit better, like I said, at working a pitcher, at making contact.
Sure.
But
again,
overall, they're a home run hitting team, as are the Brewers. I just think that they're a little bit more capable of playing small ball, station to station type of baseball. But I mean, maybe this is the best thing for the Brewers because...
Well, it helps Chassin.
I was going to say, that gives Chassin the best chance to go deep into this game, and maybe you take a little bit of the stress and the load off of that bullpen.
Yeah, because if it's low scoring, if it's 1-1, 2-2, something like that, I still don't think he's going to pitch more than 6 innings at most, regardless of what his pitch count is. But I think that would definitely help the Brewers going forward. I agree with you on that.
Let's go to Craig in Greenfield. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well.
Yeah, so I was at the game Saturday night. You know, when it got down toward the end there, I turned to my wife and said, what we got to do is get to Kane and Yelich, you know, in the ninth. And so really it played out perfect for the Brewers. I mean, they had one on, one out, Kane up and Yelich up, you know, and they ended up being the second, third out. But if the Brewers could have asked for what they wished for, if it came to that, that's who you'd want. So, I mean, it's kind of like piggybacking on one of the earlier callers. The hitting has just kind of dropped off a little here, and hitting in critical moments, you know, that's what's failed. So it's like, you know, the pitching, yeah, there were a few problems here and there, but if either Kane or Yelich, or if they both get a hit, you know, the game is either tied into extra innings or they have a walk-off.
For me, it's just difficult to go after those two guys. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's hard for me to get on the radio and criticize Christian Yelich for anything at this point.
Right.
And with all due respect.
He was going to be human eventually.
Is he going to be perfect? No, he's not. He's not going to hit a home run every time. He's not going to get a hit every time. It's very critical. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should get on here and be more critical of Christian Yelich, I guess. But I just can't get there. And Lorenzo Cain, who didn't do much of anything in the last series, is playing really well this series. So, again, same situation. In that situation, would you like both of them to come through better? Sure. But to get on the air and criticize them, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel right doing that.
I think the most you can do is come on here and go, man, I just wish Christian Yelich was still doing what he did a week ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? But eventually, like you said, Sparky, he's not perfect. At some point, he was going to look human.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's been doing things that baseball players just don't do now for, what, a month and a half? A solid month and a half. We've been watching Christian Yelich play out of this world baseball. Mm-hmm. There were due to be games where he looked human, or maybe even looked, you know, below average, because that's the nature of the sport. You know what I mean?
It's going to happen.
It almost always balances itself out. When you look insanely good for a while, well, then there's some bad stuff coming somewhere down the line to even and balance all that stuff out, even with a great player like Christian Yelich, who is a great player and had a great season. But don't expect him to be Superman day in and day out.
Right, had a huge September.
Let's get Tom and Franklin in before we move it along. Tom, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we really need to get Yelich going, because just like you guys said, he was carrying that team on his back for a long time. That's why we were scoring runs. And I think the Dodgers have figured out they're pitching him differently. I was at both games. It looks, maybe I'm wrong, but they look like they're pitching him hard down and in, and he's going to have to adjust, because they've found something. They're going to keep going at him until he can figure it out. The other thing, as far as the second game of the series, I think what really screwed up the thing was Burns came in and he couldn't get an out, and I think that kind of threw things off for them as far as using the relievers. And then it looked like he was trying to get another batter or two out of Jeffries. He was hoping he could do it, but it backfired on him. So other than that, that's all I have.
Appreciate the call. Game two tonight, NLCS. We'll get you ready for it. Game three, excuse me. We'll get you ready for it with the On Deck show coming up at 5. Me, Sparky, Tim, Baby Tosh. It's the Big Show. It's the post-game show on the On Deck show.
Somebody else
all
just
coming
tweeted
up at 5 o'clock.
And said about these winds.
Yeah, I saw
Adam,
that.
Wind warning. I didn't know there was a warning. Expires 1.5 hours before game time. So he's saying these winds are going to die down that Tom Hardercourt's talking about currently.
We shall see.
We shall see.
There's a lot to dissect coming up at 5 o'clock when we get you ready for this one. A
couple other notes.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter, Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison likely not playing tonight.
Wait,
Green
what?
Bay Packers.
I thought all indications were positive that they were going, no?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Let me check and make sure I read that right.
But all right.
I'm pretty sure I read that right. Let's see here.
What about Aaron Jones? He's playing, right?
Yeah.
I need 8 points.
Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison are likely to be inactive versus 49ers tonight on Monday Night Football.
I need 9 points Adam tonight Schefter. From Aaron Jones to win my fantasy game and keep my season alive. Do I get it? Nine points. It's PPR.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what they're going to do with Aaron Jones. Mike Zimmer says first round pick Mike Hughes towards ACL. So that's not good news for the Vikings. And in the Are You Kidding Me department, Miles Turner just agreed to a 4-year contract extension with the Pacers.
For how much? Does it say?
Yeah, how much do you think he's worth a year?
Miles Turner?
Pacers.
Had a good year last year, right? Had a good year. A little bit of a breakout year. They've been waiting for him to produce. And then I saw this offseason, he got serious about his diet and exercise. Got all ripped up, shredded.
Yeah.
Built.
All right.
And it is NBA money, right?
Oh, yeah,
so we got to factor that into the equation. I'm going to say 4 years, $16 million a year.
$16 million a year?
$16 million a year.
It's 4 years at $80
million. Okay. I was quite a bit off. I was about to say I wasn't that far off, but I was quite a bit off.
A year? Come on, man.
This ain't my money, man. Go ahead.
Get
your money, young man. We'll hit a quick break on the other side.
Dude, if he's getting $20 million a year, what is Middleton going to command?
20 plus million a year. That's coming. That's going to happen.
Chris Middleton seeing that, I'm like, hey, y'all, let's start talking about how much money I'm going to get.
But in the NBA and in all sports, you're getting paid for what they think you can do rather than what you have done.
You're
and
right.
Correct
potential.
Me if I'm wrong. Miles Turner is younger, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, has a high ceiling. I mean, people are expecting big things from that dude when he came in the league. He showed flashes of it last year. And like I said, seems to have gotten more serious about his profession in the offseason.
And Middleton?
What about him?
Has he reached his ceiling?
Close. Okay. I think he's close.
All right.
Three keys for the Packers D to get a win. It's the Green and Gold Best Defense next on a Major League Monday on the Wendy's Big Show.
It's a pick and save football Friday on The Fan. So, who's going to come up with a big pick? The timely fumble recovery. We'll go around the horn for the Big Show's best defense prediction. This is the only station Packers fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is. Packers-Niners Monday Night Football. Interesting viewing choices for Wisconsin sports fans this evening. We're trying to get you ready for all of it on a Major League Monday. It is time for the Green and Gold Best Defense, where we give you three keys for the Packers D to get a win in tonight's game against the San Francisco 49ers. Anybody mind if I go first?
Sure.
All right. I say make C.J. Beathard beat you because he can't, because he's C.J. Beathard. So I say stack the box, and I know that Breed is hurt and probably isn't playing tonight. I think he was already ruled out yesterday, if I remember my injury report from Fantasy Football Weekly correctly, every Sunday from 10 to noon right here on The Fan. So even though it's just Alfred Morris back there and probably another guy whose name I don't know, nor should I, even though that's the case, I say stack the box and see if C.J. Beathard can beat you, because he's not that good, and he doesn't really have a lot of guys to throw to. The tight end, Kittle, he's banged up. I don't know if he'll be available tonight. That seems like their most viable threat in the passing game. They just don't have a lot in the passing game, so make C.J. Beathard beat you, and if he can, well, then I'm wrong about this Packers team, and it's a lot worse, and it's time to panic, even though I've been saying for 3 weeks now, nobody panic. Everything's fine. It's just another slow start, and we've been through this before. If C.J. Beathard can beat you, I'm wrong, and there are big problems up at 1265. Five Lambo.
I just think that this defense isn't very good. But you saw they shut down Buffalo with Josh Allen, who apparently hurt his elbow over the weekend. I just think they shut down San Francisco's defense as well. Or San Francisco's offense. I say they get two interceptions in this game.
Two INTs.
Two INTs.
Is your key for the Packers D. And Bill Baby Tosh Schmid played football at a higher level than anybody in this studio. We can say that with Gary and Leroy both out. So we're going to you last. We saved the best for last. Bill Baby Tosh Schmidt, who do you got? What do you got for the green and gold best defense?
I got my man Blake Martinez double-digit tackles tonight.
And that gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
Double-digit tackles from Blake Martinez. All right. Cool. So there are your three keys for the Packers D to get a win. Make Beathard beat you. Two interceptions and double-digit tackles for Blake Martinez. That's your green and gold best defense. We do it every Friday, or Monday, in this case, on the Wendy's Big Show, normally on a Football Friday. Today, it's a Major League Monday, and we're going to keep getting you ready for Packers and Niners. Open up the phone lines to you after a short break as we ask, what are you confident, concerned, and curious about when it comes to tonight's matchup? 414-799-1250. Tweet the show at 1057FMTheFan. It's the Wendy's Big Show, and we'll be back right after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.